Marshall, will you please call the case?
The next case is A220295, State of Minnesota Respondent versus Jonathan Charles Calvota, Appellant.
Good morning and welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. We are appearing by Zoom today. The hearings are being recorded and will be posted on our website within the next day or two. Same rules apply as if we were live and in court. You'll each have 15 minutes with 5 minutes for rebuttal. Please state your names at the beginning of your arguments for the record. And with that, Mr. Kittle, are you ready to proceed?
I am. Thank you, Your Honor.
Yeah, thank you.
Opposing counsel, and may it please the court, my name is Max Kittle, attorney for the State Public Defender's Office. I represent appellant Jonathan Calvota in this matter. The district court abused its discretion when it denied Mr. Calvota a dispositional and durational departure. We ask that you remand today to the district court for imposition of a dispositional and or durational departure. There may be some debate today about how old Mr. Calvota was when he committed this offense. Whether he was 13, 15, or 17 years old, he was a shockingly young offender to be saddled with a 12-year prison sentence and 10 years of conditional release. Frankly, all the parties agreed that 12 years was too long of a sentence. The victim suggested that a 3-year sentence was more appropriate. The state said, I've looked and I've tried to find a way to do a durational departure to 3 years in prison. And the judge herself said on the record that she also, I do wish, and I will say this, I do wish that there was a way in which the court could grant a durational departure. In the end, the district court decided that there wasn't a basis in the Minnesota sentencing guidelines to grant a durational departure. That was incorrect. That was a misunderstanding of the law, and it was an abuse of discretion. The question today is, was there support in the Minnesota sentencing guidelines? And there is a factor. Number one, the sentencing guidelines list factors for mitigating a sentence or supporting a departure. The sentencing guidelines have that non-exclusive list, but one of those factors is mitigated culpability. McLaughlin, decided by the Minnesota Supreme Court, recognizes a juvenile's age as a mitigating factor. And then Roper and Graham, decided by the United States Supreme Court, also recognize that juveniles are less culpable. Their culpability is mitigated versus their adult counterparts that commit those same acts. So the fact that Mr. Calvota is a juvenile or was a juvenile when he committed this offense, his culpability can be mitigated. And so that on that basis, there was a factor that supported a departure, a durational departure, and it fits neatly within the guidelines. I'll say Mr. Calvota's case is certainly atypical and unique. Had the victim come forward when Mr. Calvota was 15 or 17, even 18 maybe, Mr. Calvota is likely treated and rehabilitated through the EJJ process. But because the victim came forward when Mr. Calvota was 20, there was no longer enough time to treat him and rehabilitate him through the EJJ process. And that makes Mr. Calvota's case extremely unique and atypical. It was the same act. He's being punished for the same act, but there's vastly different outcomes based solely on when the victim came forward in this matter. Now, the question at hand is whether this act was significantly...
Counsel, does that affect the analysis in this case? And if so, what case law would you cite us to support your position?
No, it doesn't, Your Honor. And it's simply to point out that just based on when the victim came forward, it results in vastly different outcomes for Mr. Calvota. I'll say the recommendation... or I shouldn't say the recommendation, but certainly the victim's wish that Mr. Calvota receive a 3-year prison sentence probably reflects more that this case probably should have been, or an EJJ case. I think that 3 years would fit more neatly with the time from the assault until the EJJ process would have run. Perhaps that was part of the state's and the district court's understanding as well, but that's not in the record. But the question at hand is whether this act was significantly less serious than a typical first-degree assault. And I think it clearly is. A sexual assault committed by a child is significantly less serious than a sexual assault committed by a 50-year-old adult. And it comes down to mitigated culpability. And so in State v. McLaughlin, the Minnesota Supreme Court didn't believe any of the three mitigating factors alone or together justified a departure, found that the district court abused its discretion in issuing consecutive sentences, but it did consider the age of Mr. McLaughlin when he committed that offense as a minor, as a mitigating factor. Further, in Roper v. Simmons and in Graham v. Florida, the United States Supreme Court.
To that point, Mr. Kittle, I just want to stop you and ask a question. To that point, I've got McLaughlin right here in front of me. Does McLaughlin tell the district court that it must consider age, or that it may, and in that case, it was not sufficient to change the result?
I think the latter, Your Honor, and I think that's where the district court's misunderstanding here comes into play. The district court says the age when this occurred is a reason that she wanted to grant a durational departure and wish she could have granted a durational departure, and ultimately finds that there was no basis in the Minnesota sentencing guidelines. Had the district court here talked about McLaughlin and the fact that she could consider age as a durational departure factor, it's probably a different conversation today, but it seems clear that the district court misunderstood the law, or didn't know the law as it comes from McLaughlin or Roper.
Are we sure of that? Because McLaughlin was a consecutive versus concurrent question, not a mitigated durational departure question.
Correct, Your Honor. And the district court's misunderstanding was that it seems she believed she could not consider age as a durational departure factor. Not that McLaughlin says the district court must or may consider it as a durational departure factor, but she certainly wasn't barred from considering age as a durational departure factor. There's no case law that says.
Do you have any authority for that assertion beyond McLaughlin?
As far as I can tell, in Minnesota case law, there hasn't been a case, at least reviewed by this court or the Minnesota Supreme Court, that considers age as a durational departure factor. But the Minnesota sentencing guidelines do have that non-exclusive list of reasons upon which a durational departure can be based. Mitigated culpability is one of them.
With the understanding that durational departures are generally based on offense-related factors.
And this would be, just because it's a characteristic about Mr. Calvota when he committed the offense, I do think it's an offense-related factor in the sense that his age at the time of the offense mitigated his culpability. And that made his crime, his age, made the act significantly less serious than a typical first-degree assault. And that is really the important distinction here. The state cites a couple of cases that the district court was clearly using age kind of as a dispositional factor to support a durational departure. And we're not asking the court to do that here, and we weren't asking the district court to do that here. But in Mr. Calvota's case, the age that he was at the time of the offense makes his act significantly less serious than a typical first-degree assault committed by an adult. And I think even Justice O'Connor's dissent in Roper takes issue only with the idea that all 17-year-old murderers are incapable of the moral culpability to justify the death penalty. All we're asking for is that the district court be allowed or be able to consider age, not that there be some bright line rule or new rule that says age must be considered, or age when there's a juvenile, they're automatically entitled to some sort of a departure. But the district court here felt confined to not consider Mr. Calvota's age when it relates to how serious his act was. That was a misunderstanding of the law and an abuse of discretion.
I know you're an experienced public defender, so you know you have an uphill battle because it's an abuse of discretion standard. And if the judge had granted the downward departure, it would be an abuse of discretion. We'd probably be asking Ms. Voss hard questions. When I look at what happened, so the sentencing was supposed to happen in November. The judge seems to have taken the issue under advisement for about a month, and in December issued her order, and then there's the transcript. And she seems to have weighed things very carefully, both with regard to your client. He was a juvenile. He was honest during the invest investigation, but she also found other factors that led her to conclude that a downward departure in this case wasn't appropriate. So I guess my question to you is, she seems to have considered all kinds of factors and landed on a presumptive sentence, a guideline sentence. How is that an abuse of her discretion?
So the key phrase, and I do think she took a lot of time and considered many of the factors, but I think the key phrase that she said at the sentencing hearing was, again, I do wish, and I will say this, I do wish that there was a way in which the court could grant a durational departure, but she ultimately found that the sentencing guidelines didn't support that. She also lists, she says, the age when this occurred and then no criminal history, kind of as the reason she thought the appropriate sentence was a durational departure. Now, if she would have said, I reviewed this case law and considered it, and I'm considering his age and as to whether this case is significantly less serious, then it's a different conversation today. But it seems pretty clear from the record and then her order following that she did not consider, or she didn't think she was able to consider age as a factor for a durational departure, but that was incorrect. And number one, you have the non-exclusive list. So age can certainly be a factor to support a durational departure. And while it's generally for dispositional, considered in dispositional cases, when it specifically is applied, and that's what we're asking here, when it's specifically applied to how serious the act is, how serious the offense is, and whether the offender's culpability was mitigated by his age, it can absolutely be a factor for a durational departure. And I think that was the misunderstanding of the law that makes this an abuse of discretion.
Thank you.
Are there any other further questions on the durational departure? I'll move on just briefly to the dispositional departure argument and just touch on a few of the facts that I think made Mr. Calvota particularly amenable to probation, starting off with the fact that he was particularly amenable to individualized treatment, and that treatment was only available to him in the community. He did, he was able to set up and get treatment, individualized treatment set up at 360 Therapy Associates, and that would have been an ideal treatment program for him based on the recommendations of the psychosexual evaluation. And specifically, the evaluator found that he wouldn't be a good fit for an adult program because he committed his offenses as a juvenile, and he wouldn't be a good fit for a juvenile program because he is now an adult. And so that individualized treatment was the only option for him. That was only available to him in the community, and it was already and set up at 360 Associates. We've talked a lot about his age being a factor for a durational.
Does the record reflect that individualized treatment was only available in the community?
It, certainly that the individual program was only available in the community. There wasn't a discussion about what types of programs would be available to him in prison, it's certainly understood that that there's not a lot of individual or juvenile treatment programs in the sex offender treatment programs we have available in our Minnesota prisons. His age and criminal history also support a dispositional departure. And going to that, so his age at the time of sentencing, I think is important to note as far as his amenability to probation. Now, the district court denied the dispositional departure, I think mainly because it seemed that Mr. Calvota was unmotivated, that he was young. And I think a lot of those factors, that kind of unmotivated immaturity actually shows that he was entitled to a durational departure. He was clearly unmotivated, listed those hobbies, and it made it seem as though he was extremely immature at the age of 22. And so we can only imagine how immature he was at the age of 15 or 17. I think all that goes to support a durational departure as well. But with all those factors supporting a dispositional departure, it was also an abuse of discretion to deny that motion. Just briefly closing, the district court abused its discretion in denying Mr. Calvota's durational and dispositional departure requests. the court, the state, and the victim all thought a durational departure was the most appropriate outcome. They just simply didn't think they had the legal support for that. But in fact, the court did have the legal support to find that Mr. Calvota's age at the time of the offense mitigates his culpability and makes his crime significantly less serious than a typical first-degree criminal sexual conduct, which was committed by an adult. We just ask that you remand for imposition of a dispositional and or durational departure. Thank you.
Thank you. You will have 5 minutes for rebuttal if you choose to use it. Ms. Foss?
Thank you. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Pamela Foss. I represent the state of Minnesota, which is the respondent in this matter. Just a couple issues that I see with the arguments made regarding the durational departure that has been pointed out that the victim had asked for 3 years. There was no victim impact statement provided in this case. The situation being, and I think it's on the record, that the parents would not allow us access to the victim in order to give her statement. There were comments made, a personal meeting between myself and the victim without the parents present outside of court, that she would agree to 3 years if that's what it was going to be. But there's nothing in the record that the victim ever was okay or wanted to have a sentence of 3 years to be imposed. And I think one of the issues that we're missing here is Mr. Kittle keeps saying that everybody wanted to somehow get to this departure. That is not exactly true either. We were looking at a departure. We were hopeful that in a case such as this, there might be a reason for a departure. But based on this particular individual, the acts and the offense, there were just to the state and then obviously then to the judge, didn't find those compelling substantial reasons to make this an exceptional case to grant such a departure. The roundabout way that Mr. Kittle is trying to get age as part of a durational departure when the case law is clear that age is not to be considered for a durational departure, tries to backdoor it saying that this was less serious, there was a mitigating factor, less serious than the normal first-degree crim sex. Also taking issue with that is this was an ongoing sexual abuse of a child by her brother for several years within the home that the child resided. Even the court noted that there were likely aggravating factors that could have applied to this case as well. So I think it's a little disingenuous to say this is less serious than a normal first-degree crim sexual conduct, which at time could be, you get 144 months if it's just one incident. This was more than one incident. This was repeated abuse for several years within the home. Also, the effect that it had on the victim, I think, would be a disservice to her to say this was less serious than a normal first-degree criminal sexual conduct. I agree with Judge Rodenberg that it's when looking at these factors, it's not a must. The court must consider or must depart if there's a factor, it's a may. I think Judge Rosenfeld in this case, she did take almost 30 days to take this matter essentially under advisement. I think part of that, and she stated on the record, was to allow this defendant to show in some way that he was amenable to probation, that he was remorseful, and none of that happened. This was a case that, because of the pandemic, was put on hold for a substantial amount of time. When it did come back, when courts started back up and we started going through the process, there were continuances. There was several opportunities for this individual to show to the court that he was remorseful, which never happened. Also, to show that he was amenable to probation, which never happened. As the court pointed out, he couldn't even take the time to arrange the interview with the Department of Corrections for his pre-sentence investigation. So when we're talking about an abuse of discretion in either one of these factors, I think Judge Rosenfeld did weigh all the factors. And because I don't think she disregarded or didn't believe that she couldn't use youth or his age for the dispositional, I don't think she found him to be amenable to probation based on his own actions. And I don't think it's an abuse of discretion that she didn't allow the departure in this matter. I mean, as pointed out, there is no requirement that the court, even if factors exist, that the court must grant a downward departure. I think we were all hoping in this case that there would have been something that would have set this case apart or set this individual apart, that maybe a departure would have been warranted. There just was not in this case.
Well, so going back to the durational departure question, and whether this act was less significantly less serious than would be considered typical, I understand your point about the ongoing sexual abuse, which is a good point. But is age relevant to that consideration as to whether or not the offense is less serious than would be considered typical, where you have a young defendant?
I don't think that it is as the way the law sits in Minnesota. I think that because of the rules of the juvenile procedure and how this comes about, the age of the defendant, and that it has been considered by the legislature, and there's nothing to say, and there's been no legislation, rule, or sentencing guideline that says because they commit the crime as a juvenile that they are not subject to the sentencing guidelines, or that because they're a juvenile, for some reason, it's less serious or it's a mitigating factor.
And you don't think the McLaughlin case stands for the proposition that appellant argues it stands for?
I don't have that one in front, but I think that was, again, wasn't in regard to departures, durational departures. That wasn't the subject of the case. It was on a separate issue. So I think it's distinguishable in this case because we're talking about two different sentencing options. And again, it was a may, not a must. And I don't have, honestly, anything more other than what was written in my brief. I think that is well-settled law in the state. I think given the facts and the careful analysis that was outlined by the judge in her order and on the record, that she did carefully weigh everything that she could, everything that she believed was relevant, and came to the conclusion that in this particular case, a departure was not warranted. So I would ask the court to affirm the district court's sentence.
Judges Cochran or Rodenberg, any other questions for Ms. Voss? Thank you. Mr. Kittle, you will have 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. I will start with counsel's statement that it's well settled law in the state of Minnesota that age can't be used as a factor for a durational departure. And I certainly don't think that's true, and especially when age is used to determine the seriousness of the offense. And that's what we're asking the court to do. That's what we're asking the district court to do. At a minimum, I think this needs to be remanded back to the district court with a direction that they take age into account when considering the seriousness of the offense and whether it constitutes a durational departure. It's certainly not clear that the district court considered that. And again, the district court said, I do think this case would be the appropriate case for a durational departure, given the things I've noted, the age when this occurred and the no criminal history score. But the sentencing guidelines has determined and essentially goes on to say that the sentencing guidelines don't allow her to consider those things for a durational departure. That's the age of the offender is absolutely something that mitigates his culpability. That's clear in case law from the United States Supreme Court, and it's clear in McLaughlin. And the fact that the district court thought she was
culpability, Mr. Kittle, isn't culpability an offender related factor as opposed to an offense related factor?
No, I would argue that it's certainly both. That culpability and the age of the offender is going to play on how serious the offense was as well. I think it could certainly be considered for a dispositional as an offense or as an offender related factor. But I do think that it's also an offense related factor because it makes the conduct significantly less serious than a typical. Again,
I'm not sure that I'm aware of any case law that supports that notion. That is that if you get shot by a 16-year-old, it's different than getting shot by a 21-year-old. Or if your money is stolen from by a 18-year-old, it's different than a 17-year-old. I don't know that that's true.
And that's a determination for the district court to make. But in this case, the district court thought they weren't allowed to make that determination, thought they weren't able to use Mr. Calvota's age to determine whether his conduct was significantly less serious than typical. The district court saying that I do think this case would be the appropriate case for a durational departure, given the things I've noted, the age when this occurred. That to me is saying I can't consider that as part of a durational departure. And her order goes on to say a similar thing. Those are things I can't consider when considering a durational departure. I think that was a misunderstanding of the law and an abuse of discretion. I do also think it certainly plays into the seriousness. While a victim that's shot, it may not be as serious, or that defendant may not be as culpable. In this case, where we're talking about a different offense, I do think it's up to the district court to make that determination. And the fact that the district court thought they couldn't make that determination, that was an abuse of discretion. And I think that's why it should be remanded to the district court. Either for imposition, I think in this case, it is clear that the parties, the district court, certainly wanted to depart. I know counsel says it may not have been as clear, but looking at that November 9th, I believe it was, transcript, it seems particularly clear that 3 years is the amount of time that the victim thought was the correct amount of time for Mr. Calvota to go away for. And so I think this record is particularly clear that the parties certainly considered a durational departure. And the district court says, I think the durational departure is the appropriate outcome here. But essentially that the Minnesota sentencing guidelines don't allow that. Again, that was a misunderstanding of law and that was an abuse of discretion. Just briefly, we'd ask that you find that denying the dispositional and durational departure was an abuse of discretion. We'd ask that you remand for imposition of a dispositional or durational departure, or at a minimum remand to the district court to consider that durational departure, knowing that age can be a factor in determining the seriousness of the offense and whether this offense was significantly less serious than typical. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement. We'll have our opinion out within the 90 days.